chapter 11, then we're going to go to 1 Samuel 16. We're going to continue in this series. This is lesson 5 of understanding the authority of God. The authority of God. We're going to talk about the story of David today. 1 Samuel 11, verse 15, and then we're going to go down to chapter 12, verse 1. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal, and there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offering before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11 through 23. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and the evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord come now command thy servant, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is cunning player on the harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and plain, and mighty valiant man, and man of war, and prudent in matters, and comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, the spirit that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed him. Amen. You can be seated. One of the things that made David such a great king was his understanding of authority. This is a story about a king that went bad. But you have to understand something from the start. In 1 Samuel 8, verse 1 through 7, it came to pass when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judge over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, in the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. And all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And he said unto them, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But this thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. You see, the people, folks, rejected God's form of government. And Samuel warned them of the downsides of this. He told them, this is not a good thing. But in 1 Samuel 8, 19 and 20, he said, Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations. and that our king may judge us and not go out before us and fight our battles. Do you see the importance of seeking God's will before we plow into things in life? You see the importance of understanding whatever I do, I want God's will to be done. We just might prevail with something that we regret, okay? If you don't seek God for things, folks, there's things that you may end up doing that you say, man, I wish I would have sought counsel. I wish I would have sought the Lord in this, and I should have sought the Lord in this. You remember the old saying, be careful what you wish for? You may just get it. But see, folks, nevertheless, God's love for his people caused him to pick them a leader. In 1 Samuel 9, verse 1 and 2, now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abel, the son of Zeor, the son of Bechorath, the son of Alphia, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he said, and he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Saul, the scripture said, Saul was a good man. So now that Israel is in Canaan, they have established a nation. Now they have a king. But Saul ended up failing for the same reasons David was raised up. It's called authority. Okay? King Saul failed to understand the doctrine of authority. If you will have me, allow me to say that. He failed to understand the doctrine of authority. He brought back the spoils of Amalek. He even tried to sacrifice as a priest. There's an old saying that power corrupts. Amen. We've seen that in times. Amen. But always remember, folks, always remember, authority or power is the true test of a man's spirit. See, your humility is not tested when you're down. It is when you're lifted up that you are truly tested. Paul said a qualification of a bishop was that he be, in 1 Timothy 3:6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Pride can lift you up, just like Lucifer did. It lifted him up. But also in 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that ye may exalt, he may exalt you in due time. This is the flip side. Amen. You can be, you can allow pride to lift you up, but on the flip side, if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. Amen. And that's what we want. We want God to exalt us. Now, when we get back to David, even though David became anointed, he had to wait for his time, all right? There's a time that, God may tap you to do something, but you also want God's timing on your life also. Amen? Understand that. There, let God open the doors for you. Now, I'm not in favor of a lot of people that tap people on the shoulder and say, God's going to use you to preach someday. You know, you hear that kind of stuff. Somebody gives a flowery testimony in church, and then, you know, everybody in church is saying, I believe God's going to use you. You better wait to hear from your leadership, okay? and understand that. David, God sent the prophet to anoint him, but it wasn't his time yet, okay? David was still under authority. He was enlisted in Saul's army. He was numbered with Saul's people, on and on and on. Now, this is a difficult situation. Israel, at this time, had two kings. Okay, David was anointed, but Saul was still the king. And we had one rejected on the throne, and the other one was anointed yet to ascend. Now, here is where Saul began to try to kill David. So many people will do whatever it takes to protect their position. And that's what Saul was doing here. He understood that he was God had rejected him, and he was trying to protect the situation. In 1 Samuel 24, verse 1 through 3, "And it shall come to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way where was a cave. And Saul went into the cover to his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. Saul comes to rest in this cave that David is hiding in." Pretty fascinating, isn't it? Now, remember what I said about testing. Testing comes when you're up. All right? In 1 Samuel 24, 4, "And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily." He just cut a part of the robe off. Just to kind of, here, I was here. Now watch closely what happens next in 1 Samuel 24, 5 through 7. "And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way." Now here's David. David called out to him and told him all of these things. And listen to what Saul says in 1 Samuel 24, 15 through 20. "The Lord, therefore, be judged and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day that how that thou hast dealt well with me. For as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killedst me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord rewarded thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand." Now when you hear this, everybody lives happily ever after, right? Huh? 1 Samuel 26, verse 2, "Then Saul rose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph." You see, folks, some people just never learn, do they? 1 Samuel 26, 7 through 12, "So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay asleep within the trench, and his spear stuck into the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay around about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said unto Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said, Furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into the battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awaked For they were all asleep because the deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. There's a great message here about Abner's failure. You see, Abner was in a position to advise Saul of his military strategies and campaigns and to overlook him, help keep him safe. For over a decade, Saul was hunting David down to kill him. And David was a distinguished Israeli army officer. David had killed Goliath, the Philistine giant who had been poised to humiliate Israel. He also led successful military campaigns against the nation's enemies, this enduring himself to the citizens. But in addition, he was Saul's son-in-law. So King Saul's obsession with exterminating David was unjust. It was unwarranted. But Abner, folks, was never reported to have attempted to dissuade Saul from doing this. Rather, he accompanied Saul on his ill-advised expeditions against this young man, David, who was widely known to have been anointed by God to replace Saul. But it was Jonathan, the first son of Saul, who the king hoped to be his successor, who would speak to defend David. In 1 Samuel 26:15 through 17, and David said to Abner, "Art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done, as the Lord liveth. Ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his bolster." And Saul knew David's voice and said, "Is this the voice, my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." David asked Saul again, "Why are you chasing me? You're hunting for a flea like a man would hunt for a partridge in the mountains." In other words, it's a little overkill, Saul, what you're doing. In 1 Samuel 26:21, "Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." Saul, folks, understand what Saul was going on here. He had a stupid spirit on him. David understood a valuable lesson about authority, and Saul was blessed that he did. God will take care of leaders. Amen? God will take care of leaders. A long time passes, and we come to Saul's end. And this is a powerful story I want you to listen to here in 2 Samuel 1, 3-17. "And David said unto him, For whence comest thou? And he said unto him, Out of the camp of Israel I am escaped. And David said unto him, How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, That the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan, his son, be dead? The young man that told him said, As I happened by chance upon Mount Gibeah, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, Here I am, here am I. And he said unto me, Who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. And he said unto me again, Stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him, and I slew him, because I was sure that he would not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them hither unto my lord. And David took hold of his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned, and they wept, and they fasted unto even for Saul, and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young man that told him, Whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto him, how wast that thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall on him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. And David lamented with his lamentations over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. You see, folks, understand this. David could not imagine how anyone could come to attack God's anointed. Okay? David's appointed singers and musicians to play and sing and take his words to the era. In 1 Chronicles 6, 20 and 25, and when they had went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. It was a principle. It was a conviction that David lived by. And so we should know what he was living by. We should know it. Know that the main deal was with David, he kept coming out on top. No matter what happened, David kept coming out on top. You say, well, why? Well, in 1 Samuel 18, verse 5, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. In other words here, he was doing what he was asked to do. He was diligent in being a servant. In 1 Samuel 18, 12 through 16, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all of Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. David, folks, behaved himself wisely, the scripture says. Are we behaving ourselves wisely? This brought about many things, but chiefly it showed that he understood authority. That's a wise thing to do. Understand authority. You see, David understood that he was a servant. Even though he was anointed to be king, David understood he was a servant. Amen? In fact, what is so fascinating is that when we think about David, we think of him as King David, right? Or we remember the Bible saying that he is a man after God's own heart. But God referred to David more often as my servant. This is probably the most important title that anyone can have. That is a servant of God. Because it describes who we were created to be. David knew that he was under submission to the Lord. And what we often see in the Old Testament when it talks about David is how often he continued to go to God. And whatever situation David found himself in, he would go to God and find out, God, what should I do? Very wise, right? God, what should I do here? Folks, David would not pay the price of rebellion to get Saul's throne. That's why when he cut that piece off his robe, that smote him. You see, in David's eyes, there would be no other choice. I am not doing harm to the anointed of God. You see, we see this principle in the New Testament even having to do with the spirit world. In Jude, 7 and 10, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel went contending with the devil, he railing an accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast in those things they corrupt themselves. You see, folks, doctrine of authority is a matter of deep implications. All right? It will bring anointing to you in your home, in your job, in your neighborhood, in your church. All right? Understanding authority will bring anointing in your home. It'll bring anointing in your job. It'll bring anointing in your neighborhood, in your church. Amen? Amen. God will bless those that understand authority and live by it. Okay? David would not kill Saul to expedite God's plan. Now, a lot of people, well, God called me to this, and this situation is in my way. I'm going to get it removed. You let God put you in your place when it's time. You see, just cutting the skirt convicted David badly. Now, maybe we don't kill other people with our hands, but our tongue sure cuts skirts, don't it? Our tongues will cut the skirts. You see, it is often the same spirit. Now, being in subjection to authority is not being in subjection to a person. Hear me? But rather being in subjection to the anointing of the Lord upon the person. All right? Now, we know there are people that do things that are just sometimes seems like it's unforgivable. But you remember, understand the authority of the one that put them there. That's what you want to understand. David called Saul my Lord, or the Lord's anointed, even while being chased by him. Here is Saul trying to do him harm. And now he was trying to kill him. But think about it, folks. It's not only the fact that he's trying to kill him, but David can't even live a normal life because he's being chased. And sometimes when people are around you and it just makes your life miserable, it makes things hard for you, all right? And God has blessed you and touched you, you just remember the anointing of the one that put them there, okay? David saw and acknowledged Saul's authority and would rather run for his life than to put his hand against that authority. That's an understanding authority, folks. That's how God blesses you. David knew that God would deal with Saul in his time and in his way. All right? David knew that, and that's what we need to understand. God will deal with it in time. You may think, well, it just seems like this just never ends, and it goes on and on and on. Well, it may, but God will take care of it in his time. In Acts chapter 13, verse 20 to 23, and after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. As this man seeds hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. You see, I believe this is why God said of David, he was a man after his own heart. David stood for God's authority. And God stood for David's. All right? You see, we need a revival of authority thinking in our day. We really do. We need a revival of authority thinking in our day. David was chosen as a lineage of Jesus. Think about that. David was chosen as the lineage of Jesus because he understood authority. We must root out all rebellion from our hearts before we begin to exercise authority. David had a heart, folks, after God's own heart because he trusted God rather than fearing man. Think about it. He walked in humility rather than walk in pride. He willingly confessed and repented of his sin rather than making excuses, rather than making rationalizations. How often do we avoid confessing our wrong when we know we should? Come on. If you can't confess your faults, then you don't understand authority. Come on. David willingly did this. He repented of his sin. He didn't make excuses. He didn't rationalize things. A lot of times we rationalize things out and think that I was justified in doing what I did. No, you weren't. Wrong is wrong. Come on. David willingly confessed these things. And finally, David yielded to God's will and fought God's battles, not his own battles. We try to fight battles that we know we should let God do. Come on. David fought what God told him to do. He didn't run out here and do his own thing. He did what God told him to do. And until we start having that kind of heart, folks, we'll never make a positive impact in our homes. We'll never make a positive impact in our churches, in our workplaces, in our communities. Amen. It is important, folks, that we start to have the kind of heart that will make a positive impact in our homes, in our workplaces, our communities. What we need to realize is that this type of faith and this type of heart doesn't come easy. But it will be productive in your life. Amen. It will make a difference in your life that you never even dreamed. Folks, we are living in a dying world. And more people are finding themselves in distress. They're finding themselves in debt. And generally, they are discontented, with life. Everywhere you turn, you see people in all kinds of different situations in life. But when we start living our lives by faith, having a heart that is after God's own heart, like David did, we will draw people out of this lost, dying world because they'll take note. Amen. When there's so many people on this side over here, and you are walking in this area where God wants you to be, you're understanding the authority of God in your life. Amen. And God, because of that, because of you understanding the authority, God is able to put blessings in your life, and he's able to bring a peace and a joy in your life. You think people over here aren't going to understand and see something different here and wonder what's going on in your life? Come on. We will stand out like a sore thumb. But are we willing to do what it takes to get to that place like David was? That's the problem, is so many people aren't willing to take and to begin to try to understand what authority can do in your life, what a difference it can make in your life, because they're so caught up in living with and doing what they want to do. Even though they're making a mess of things, it's still what they want. We start living our lives by faith. We live our lives and have a heart that is after God's own heart, like David. And it'll draw people out of the lost and dying world into an everlasting life in heaven. So let's seek to be men and women of faith. Men and women after God's heart. I encourage you today, folks, seek that for your life. Seek it and ask God, help me, Lord, to be a David. Help me, God. I want it to be said of me that I am a man after God's own heart. Amen. Would you like for God to say that of you? Amen. Folks, whether or not there is a church in this next generation, is dependent upon us submitting to authority. That's what it's dependent on us, amen? So we have to cleanse ourselves for the service of God. You hear me what I'm saying? We have to cleanse ourselves. And folks, anywhere out throughout the Bible, when it comes time for God to move in a situation and to bless his people, the priest in those days, they would prepare themselves for God. We have to prepare ourselves every day. God, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Well, I don't think of any sins. Well, just in case you sinned. Come on, we want to be cleansed so that God can come in and move in his spirit. We need to understand God and his authority and how important it is to understand authority and not look at it like the devil wants us to look at it. That's all evil. People are out to get you. Your God is on your side. Come on. That's the beautiful thing about David. See, even though he was being chased by Saul and sought after, not even able to live his normal life and being sought after, David understood that, and God had his back. Because why? Because he understood authority. Because he understood his position as a servant, and therefore God was able to bless. So, folks, I don't care what comes against you in life. If you understand God's authority and you live in accordance with that, amen, God will have your back, and no matter what you're going through. And you'll be able to have that peace, amen, that you normally wouldn't have in life. In doing your own thing and getting yourself in your own messes, you don't have a peace and a joy. It's a frustrating life. But see, folks, whether or not, understand this, whether or not there is a church for your children, for your grandchildren, in this next generation is dependent upon us submitting to authority in our lives. Amen.